Come on, is God good? His mercy endures forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know what mercy means? It means loving kindness. Let me say that over here. These people didn't get too excited. His mercy means loving kindness. What does that mean? He loves you, but He's kind about it. I used to think growing up that God loved you, but if you got out of line, He was right there to whack you upside the head. You know, and He was up there to zap you. But that's not the truth. The truth is, His mercy endures forever. So what God does for us is not dependent on how good we are. It's totally dependent on how good He is. Woo, glory to God. His mercy endures forever and ever and ever. God is good and His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Last week we started to talk about the blood covenant. And I'll do a little review and then we'll go on. We've been talking about the blood for a couple of months, but the blood covenant is so important to understand. And most civilizations around the earth, if you mention the blood covenant, they know what they're talking about. And again, for us who are old enough to remember back in the day when we watched Westerns nonstop on Saturday, there would be the Blood Brothers. And if you were a blood brother with somebody, it was a higher level than anything else. And blood covenant is always, watch this, it's always the mixing of blood. And there are many ways that they did that, but the mixing of blood that was important because the life of the flesh is in the blood. In fact, today, if you went to the doctors and they were trying to figure out what was wrong with you or what you needed, they'd say, we need to take some blood. And sometimes they take blood, and then 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 they take blood. Why? Because inside of that blood is everything that you are. It's the signature of who you are. So when you exchange blood in a blood covenant and you mix that, your life became my life and my life became your life. As we talked about last week, there are many examples of that in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. But I want to look at one scripture and then we'll go on. In Luke chapter 22... Luke 22 and verse 20. And of course, this is at the Last Supper. We call this the communion meal or the Passover meal. And he says this, likewise, he took the cup after supper saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you. And again, that term, new covenant, we kind of look at that, yeah, what does that mean? I don't know. But what this means is an irrevocable contract. But contract's not strong enough of a word. What this means is it cannot be nullified and it cannot be broken. Let me say that again. It cannot be nullified and it will not be broken. So Jesus is saying, this is the new covenant in my blood. And we know that there was an old covenant, or the Old Testament, but this is new. And the new absolutely supersedes the old. Very important. We don't live under the old covenant. We live under the new covenant. And this covenant that he struck was struck in his blood. And like I've told you last week, this covenant is not between you and God. This blood covenant was between Jesus and his Father. You enter into it by faith that Jesus was the covenant keeper. He was the covenant promise. He was the sacrificial lamb. And when you say, yes, Lord, I need Jesus as my Savior, you enter into it through Christ. Why is that important? Because if that covenant was between me and you, and God, we'd break it every time. Every time we'd break it. But He will never break it. And in Him, I will never break it. It's so good. It's so good. And again, the word, this is so cool. The word covenant, even in the Greek, was not there. But when the Septuagint, which is the Old Testament written into Greek, when they translated into Greek, they came up with the word diatheke. Never say diatheke. Say it again. You can you? Diatheke. It's a Greek word. But watch this. Watch this. It means a covenant where the stronger one makes a covenant with the weaker one. So what do I mean? This, under this covenant, under the new covenant, Jesus is saying, I'm taking the place of the weaker so that they can identify with the stronger. Like I said, he's saying, I'm taking the place of the weaker so that they can identify with the stronger. In other words, I'm living my life out not as me, but as one who's been absolutely submersed in the love of God, submersed in the power of God, submersed in His ability. Come on. I heard this term this week, and it's so good. The term was this. You never truly are in a position to receive what God has for you until you become into a position of helpless abandonment or helpless dependency. Helpless dependency. The best example I can give that, have you ever seen a newborn baby when they come from the hospital? All they do is cry, right? And other things that we won't go into. But they're totally dependent on other people to take care of it. If they don't, it'll stop existing. Everything they have need of is dependent upon somebody taking care of them. In Christ, you need to have the attitude that I'm helplessly dependent. In other words, how many in here could say, you know, my life has been so perfect that I know I'm going to be before God without any problem? None of us, right? None of us outside of Jesus can say that. So we're helplessly dependent on the fact that His covenant that was given to us worked. And it's by faith that you enter into it. In other words, Jesus, I don't fully get it, but there was a day in my life when I said yes to Jesus, and He came into my heart. But I can't go on from that point, be in a position where, okay, Jesus, You did the work, but now it's up to me to get other things done. There is a part where Christians play, but our attitude always has to be, Lord, I'm helplessly dependent upon Your grace to do anything for Your kingdom. Right? That's a good position to be in. So we're talking about the blood covenant. Why are we talking about it? Why is it so important? Because when we get a hold of this, we begin to understand that we are no longer living our lives as ourselves. We're no longer praying from a position of, well, if I was good enough this week, maybe God will hear my prayer. Or if I did enough penance, then maybe I'm acceptable in the sight of God. See, all of that is religion and its works, and it will always leave you defeated. But when you understand that you're in blood covenant with God because He struck a blood covenant and you're entering into it by faith, then you can be absolutely assured, I'm going to the Father in Jesus' name. So, as He said, I'm right before His throne right now. Right now. Right now. I'm right before His throne right now. And I thank You, Lord, that You hear my cry. I thank You, Lord, that You give me help in a time of need. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to try to get in just the right mood or the right temperature and don't anybody talk right now. I can be assured of that because of the covenant.
Yes, amen.
Because of the covenant. Hallelujah. And so today, like we said last week, and again, a little more review, in the ceremony or the customs of blood covenant, oftentimes what happened was is that you would come into covenant with another person, but in doing that, there were certain things that happened. One of the things that happened, of course, that the cut and the blood mixed, but before that took place, before that portion of the ceremony, you set up the terms of the covenant. In other words, I'll do this, and you'll do that. And all that I have in a true blood covenant, all that I have becomes yours, and all that you have becomes mine.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, dependent upon who you were in blood covenant made the difference in a lot of situations. For instance, I'll just use this example. If you had a $10,000 debt right now, and it needed to be paid by tomorrow, and you came to somebody who was broke and homeless, and you said, I want to have blood covenant with you that my debt is going to be paid. Okay. But there's no resource behind that person to pay that debt. But let's just say you came into blood covenant with whoever, Bill Gates. And so everything that he had was yours. You could go to wherever that debt was owed and say, I'm here in the name of Bill Gates. And I have access to everything that he owns. So this $10,000 is nothing and is taken care of. You are in blood covenant with the one who owns everything. The Bible says that he owns the mountains, he owns the sky, he owns the cattle, he owns everything. The gold, the silver are all his. You're into blood covenant with him. So again, the terms were determined. And again, a blood covenant was irrevocable. Like I said last week, in a blood covenant, if the blood covenant was not only just for the two people that were entering into it, but it was generational. In other words, if I was in blood covenant with Mike here, then it would go to my children, and his children would be in blood covenant as long as they prescribe to it. So what am I saying? I'm saying this, that Jesus was the firstborn of many believers. But just as Jesus entered that covenant with the Father because I'm in him, I am just as much in covenant with God as Jesus is. So again, when I'm standing on hopeless, helpless dependency on everything that he's promised is true and that his covenant applies to me. Hallelujah. This morning, I want to speak to God's contract or God's terms of the covenant. You'll all have heard this before, I'm sure, but I want you to get into this just a little bit. Go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. God is so good. See, I don't think that we in the Western mind understand covenant like it's really supposed to be drawn out. We think of covenant and contract the same way, and obviously that's not the same. Because under a contract, the contract's just as good as the lawyer that's hired to break it. Right? Or it's just as bad as the lawyer you can afford to defend it. Right? But watch this. In a blood covenant, there's no lawyers involved. It's a done deal, and it's forever. And like I said, if I break a covenant with Mike, his kids won't come hunt me down. My kids will come hunt me down and kill me. Because the covenant is that strong. Hallelujah. So, Hebrews chapter 8, and let's start in verse 10. And this is God talking to the people of Israel. And he said, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none of his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." In that, he says, a new covenant, he has made the first obsolete. Now what is becoming obsolete and growing old is ready to vanish away. Look at what he's saying here. This is what's going to happen. And he was pointing to when Jesus became our ultimate sacrifice. But he said, this is the terms of the covenant. Again, back in verse 10. "I will put my laws in their minds and write them on their heart." It's amazing when we begin to understand that the Holy Spirit, and we're going to look at that a little more later in depth, but the Holy Spirit that was given to us when we were born again, in other words, when we made Jesus the Lord of our lives and we entered into the benefits of the covenant, the Holy Spirit of God came to live on the inside of us. And if we'll learn to listen to our spirits instead of our mind and outside voices, we will get it right every time. 100% of the time. Now, to develop that, you have to be involved with the Word and do different things. But the reality is when Jesus Christ paid the price for us and we entered into the covenant that He paid, He made us holy. He made us righteous. And He sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. So watch this. I love this part. He says that He'll write His laws on our mind and then on our hearts. Of course, what does that mean? In our hearts, He's talking about our spirit man. And our minds are our noodles. It's the thing that gets us in trouble a lot. Have you ever been in a situation where I know what you were thinking with somebody else? I know what you were thinking. I know the way you looked at somebody. I know exactly what you were thinking. Well, you don't, but okay. And you might be right part of the time, but most of the time, you don't know what I'm thinking. And if it's a man, he doesn't know what he's thinking. So you know, definitely, right? So watch this. Watch this. But what God is saying through His Spirit, He'll take the message that God has given through the covenant to you and He'll illuminate your mind. In other words, you can start thinking in line with the covenant that's been struck. Here's the term, His terms. When Jesus died for your sins and you accepted Him as your Lord and Savior, here's the terms. The moment that does, I'm going to make you righteous and I'm going to put you in a position where God can come and dwell, not just with you, but in you. And when He comes to dwell in you, He's going to reveal everything that I've accomplished to you in your spirit. And if you'll listen closely enough, He'll get it out of just your spirit and your mind will start thinking in line with what He's done. See, because it's like this. In our minds, things like, you know, just the simple things, like He said, forgive one another even as I've forgiven you. Huh? I can't do that. Why? Because they really hurt me. See, you're trying to forgive them out of your ability to forgive, when in reality, the love of God has been shed abroad in your heart, and you can absolutely say this, Lord, I'm having a hard time forgiving, but the forgiveness that you've given to me, I'm passing on to them. And I'm loving them through the love of God. I'm operating through the covenantal promise that your love has been given to me. And everything you said I can do, I can do. Right? I was talking with somebody just this last week, and he was talking about forgiveness. And he really wasn't a Christian. He was kind of iffy on the Christianity thing. But he talked about forgiving this man that literally tried to kill him. But he forgave him. What that did for that man is that released him from the torment of that situation. So forgiveness is for the person that we're giving it to, but really it's for us more than that. But under the covenantal blessing, God will put His heart into your heart, and then your mind can respond to what your heart is actually saying. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind. And the second is like to love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus said this under the new covenant. He said, a new law I'm given to you, that you love one another. And that's not new. But he said, even as I have loved you. That's a whole different level. I said, that's a whole different level. But it's not because we change ourselves. It's because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart. We have Him living on the inside of us, and He'll teach us how to love one another. And if He said we can do it, we can do it. So again, look at this, verse 10. After those days, I will put my laws in their mind and write them on the tablets of their heart. I will be their God. Just stop and think for a minute. Under the tenets of the New Testament, of the New Covenant, God said that He would be your God. Now, churches will try to tell you that, no, you haven't been baptized the right way, you haven't been this the right way, or you don't believe this the right way, so God's not your God. He's not for you. He's not with you. You don't come to our church. You don't whatever. No, God is not your God. Listen, under the terms of the new covenant, when it was struck, and when we partook of Jesus' sacrifice, the God became my God. The one who's represented and shown throughout all of the Old Testament and many of the works and things that He did. In fact, when He did a work, they'd give Him a name. When an angel showed up, they'd give Him a name. And the name described what they did. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the Lord my healer. Who's that talking about? It's talking about my God. It's talking about your God. And all I need to do is be helplessly dependent on the promise. He's my God. He's my God. He's my God. In fact, your spirit will cry out when you make Jesus the Lord of your life. It will cry out of you and it will say, Abba, Father. That means daddy, daddy. That means not just a father who can't be touched, but a father who can be touched because he's my God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. I honor him. I respect him. But I can be dependent that the God of the universe is concerned about me, concerned about what's going on with me, and will act in a way to help me. Because of the blood covenant and the terms that he said. I didn't set these up, he did. He said, I will be your God. You said, Lord, under the terms of the covenant, you would be my God. So when I'm talking to the Lord in prayer, Lord, I'm not talking to you as one who is on the outside looking in. I mean, I love those old hymns, and some of them are just so full of unbelief. But, you know, if I just get to the back street of heaven and I live in that cabin over yonder. Listen, that has nothing to do with the covenant. Right? The covenant says that I'm welcomed into the presence of God. Again, not me. I'm totally and completely dependent upon the love of Jesus and the blood of Jesus covering my sins. But once it's covered my sins, they're clean. He's got that in your spirit, but your mind and sometimes your religious thoughts or religious brainwashing will get you on the outside of that, and it'll hinder everything that God wants to do in your life. Why?
That's right.
Well, I want to provide for you. Yeah, but I don't deserve it. Huh? That's not your spirit speaking. That's your mind speaking. You deserve it only because of the covenant that you're in with Him. It's not based on you. I'm helplessly dependent on the fact that Jesus became my provider. And the moment that I can get there and understand that is the moment that I can be in faith for that promise. By His stripes, I've been healed. He's the God who healed me. I heard this week too. I never heard this before, but I think it's so good. You know, what's the gospel? What other term would you use?
Good news,
right? Good news. That means it's good, not bad. And have you ever noticed that the news is about what has happened? We're reporting today down at, you know, Bethel and Sedgwick, there was an accident, you know, that's the news, right? The good news is what Jesus has already done. What's already been accomplished for you. That He's not up there trying to get you saved. He produced the work for you to be saved. To be delivered, to be healed, to be free, right? Glory to God. And the Bible says that he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I've got to let my spirit, because God has become my God and He's putting that into my heart, get my spirit and my mind lined up with, well, I don't care whether I see it, I don't care whether I feel it, but I know that my God is working in me because it's based on the covenant. He's my God. Listen, this is so cool. We talked out of Genesis chapter 15 and the covenant that God had with Abraham. This is so cool. You know that Abraham's original name was Abram, and we talked about that last week. And through the covenant, it got changed to Abraham. In the Hebrew, they didn't pronounce the name of God. It was so sacred to them, it was just consonants. There was no vowels in it. But part of it went like this. In fact, when Adam was, you know, created out of the dust, it came down and it said that God breathed into his nostrils, right? He went, the Holy Spirit, oftentimes the word spirit in both the Hebrew and the Greek means breath. So when Abram became Abraham, what's that saying is that his name, when I came into covenant, your name is now indwelt into my name. In fact, if you'll read the rest of the Old Testament, it oftentimes referred, this is the God of Abraham. This is the God of Abraham. And it wasn't just for Abraham. Watch this. Sarai was named Sarah.
Yeah.
Sarah. What I'm saying, when you came into the new covenant, part of the covenant was that that you're not just the same as you were before.
Amen.
Why? Because God
into you.
When back in White Center, Washington, 1977, when I was standing in a circle and I said, "Yes, I want Jesus to be my Lord," the Holy Spirit came and he said, "I don't always feel it. I don't always act like it. But the reality is, according to the terms of his covenant, he became my God. I became his child. He's for me. He's not against me. His love for me is everlasting. Everlasting. Ever growing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm just getting started. It's time to quit. Watch this. He'll put my laws. And the second thing he said, I will be their God and they will be my people. God doesn't look at you as an outsider. That's my child right there. That's my child right there. And in a covenant situation, the strength of the one you were in covenant with determined the protection that he'd give you. I'm in covenant with God. You mess with me, talk to him. When the devil brings condemnation to you and tells you how worthless you are and that you'll never amount to anything, or somebody tries to shame you into being a certain way, you just go, talk to him. Right? Talk to him. This isn't my idea. This was his idea. You got a problem with me? Talk to him. I'm in covenant with him. The devil comes up to you and tells you, well, I'm just going to take you. Oh, sorry, talk to him. The devil comes to tell you it's impossible. Talk to him. Because under the covenant, all things are possible to him who believes. I'm under the new covenant. And I like this, and I'm going to take a little extra time this morning. Bless God, because I can. I will be their teacher. God said he would be your teacher.
Thank you.
No, you don't get it. He said he would teach you. He'd put his laws in your heart and in your mind. But then he teach you. I've got to read these scriptures. I just have to. Go to the Gospel of John. The terms of the covenant you can find in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 through 23. And it's expanded version of them. I don't have time to go into it this morning. I may take time next week. I may not. But in John chapter 14, look at this. This is so good. Most of you have read these before, but think about this now in light of the covenant. In John chapter 14 and verse 16, John 14 and verse 16, he says, I will pray the Father and he will give you another helper. Other translations are comforter. The Greek word is paraclete. I will give you another, and that word another, and I'm not a Greek scholar, but read after a few, but that word another is another of the same kind. So in other words, Jesus was saying, just as I've been with you, just as you've seen all of this that I've done, just as I took those fish and divide, you know, multiplied them and everybody ate, and not only did they eat because you worked so hard, I gave you baskets afterwards. That same type of helper, comforter, is going to be coming. Watch what he says. I'll pray and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. Holy Spirit hasn't left me. The Holy Spirit hasn't left you. We may have failed. We may have fallen down. We may have, stopped doing what he told us to do, but he hasn't left you. Watch this, verse 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither knows him, but you know him. Watch this. For he dwells with you and will be in you. What does that mean? That Comforter is with me and it's in me, and it's all because of the new covenant. Okay, go to I'm getting somewhere. Go to verse 26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. What am I saying? We need to understand, based on the covenant, that when we don't know what to do, all we have to do is stop and say, Lord, I'm hopelessly dependent on the promise that you said you'd show me all things. And one more, go to chapter 16, just go over here. And verse 13, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you all into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said, he will take of mine and declare it to you. A little while you will see me, not see me, and again, a little while you will see me, because I go to the Father. What's he saying? I have to go away. I have to go to the Father. Why? Because that's part of fulfilling the covenant. That's the sacrifice. That's the mixing of the blood. That's why I have to go away. But when I go away, watch this, I'm going to do a work that's going to make you clean, and so clean on the inside that the Holy Spirit can come dwell in you. Not my terms, not the terms of my covenant, but the terms of the covenant, of the new covenant, is that I'm going to make you, everybody in this room who's made Jesus the Lord of your life, every one of you is a partaker of the fact that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And what we have to do is we have to get his message from here to here. But God's promised he'd do that too. How do we enter into that? By being helplessly dependent on the promise and saying, God, I can't do it on my own. I don't know what to do. But I remember the terms of the covenant, and I remember what you said. You'll show me what to do. What's the purpose for my life? Everybody has purpose. You have purpose. I have purpose. And, you know, as you go through the stages of life, I like what one writer said, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread, right? So there's many stages, right, of life. But wherever you are in that stage of life, God wants you to know what his purpose is for you today and tomorrow. How do you get that? By just trusting that the Holy Spirit will guide you into that. You know what are the number one tricks of the enemy to get you into a place of defeat or just total sorrow and sadness? Hopelessness. There's no hope. Listen, if you're saved, there's hope. Because he's our hope. He's called the great hope. Because he's with us. He's for us. Come on. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. So the next time your mind is telling you that you're worthless, telling you that there's no use, that you should give up, that you should quit, look at this. Tell your mind just real politely, but say, shut up. Shut up. I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit dwells inside of me, and the answers that I need are not coming from man. God may use man, but they're coming from him. And I am totally, completely dependent on his promise. Hallelujah. So he will be their teacher. And I like this. He'll be merciful to unrighteousness. How many have ever done anything wrong? The rest of you will pray for. But listen to this. Listen to this. These are the terms of his covenant. He'll be merciful to all of your unrighteousness. What does that mean? It means those who are sitting under condemnation because they didn't do everything right. right? It's Father's Day. I mean, I tried to be a good father, but I'm not wasn't perfect. There are things I wish I could go back and change, right? I wasn't perfect. But watch. God said He would be merciful to all my weakness. He would be merciful to all my... What does that mean? He'd cover my mistakes with His loving kindness. That's huge. That's huge. Watch this now. Watch this. He said He will remember your lawless deeds no more. What does that mean? He's not holding a ledger against you. He's not like, you know, that person that says, oh yeah, you did that right. But remember back in 1972, you remember that day? I remember it. And I'm going to hold you accountable to that date. As far as God is concerned, your account is clean because of the blood covenant. Your account is clean, wiped out. There's nothing against you because of the terms of the new covenant. Did you get anything this morning? I want you, every one of you, to walk out of here different, with a different mindset and a different thought. You might not have done everything perfect. You might have failures in your life. You might wish that you could have a do-over. You can't. But you can do forward with a mindset that God, Your covenant has cleansed me from all of the things of my past. And Your covenant gives me hope for my future. You will speak to me on what my purpose is for being here on this earth. You will speak to me. And God, You love me just the way I am. And You created me with purpose. I've got to take just one more second and we'll close in prayer. There's somebody in here who's been under the box of you're not fitting in necessarily to the standard that the world would set for you. And you're thinking, if I was only this, or I was only that, or if I was smarter, if I was younger, if I had this color hair, if I did, then I would be okay. That's just a lie right out of the pit of hell. Why? Because God made you just the way that you are. And He made you for purpose. And His purpose supersedes all of the enemy's tactics to destroy you and keep you from what God has for you. Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed you from everything that the enemy would use to destroy you. Come on, come on. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your word today. I thank You for being with us. I thank You, Lord, that there are people in the room, Lord, that You just want to love on, that You want Your mercy to just go over. And I just thank You, Lord, for doing that for them, for touching them. Lord, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole, complete, again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Thank You, Jesus, for Your blood. Lord, I just pray over every person, Lord, if they're watching online, thank You for joining us, or here in the room. I just pray, God, that You would just speak to them and let their minds hear what their heart is trying to say. And Lord, we just give You all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Bless them, touch them. Lord, if they need healing, You're Jehovah Rapha. If they need provision, You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the Spirit of God that speaks the truth into people. Lord, I just ask You to do what You do best in Jesus' name. Thank You for joining us. God bless you. If I could have the worship team come up, we'll close with a worship song. If you need prayer for anything today,